some things in life, human projects, I would call them, they go tragically wrong. And in that tragedy, hope is dashed and people are hurt and families are destroyed and the dreams of lifetimes are buried forever. The brightest futures become dark holes filled with dirt. And what makes all this so sad is that the whole incident can usually be traced back to the decision of one man who started it all. The sin of one person who is out of the will of God can affect all the lives around him or her. It does not matter where the person resides in the chain of influence. All people matter to the Lord, and therefore, the one who breaks the law of the Lord can stop his blessing and stop the blessing of the group. You might say the Lord would allow a whole group of people to be harmed because of the sin of one person. And that is true in most cases. But when the Lord has given a law and repeatedly stated that the consequences of anyone in that group breaking the Lord's law will affect the whole body of that group, then the Lord will allow the harm to come to that whole body. The nation of Israel had such warnings that were placed on them. Those warnings came in the time when they were with Moses in the wilderness. We studied about those in Leviticus, and we also studied about those in Deuteronomy. They are warnings concerning thoughts and deeds yet to be born. But when they are born, the penalty will be brought to bear on the nation. The church has such warnings too. How can the group recover whenever someone has sinned in the camp? The only way to do it is by rooting out the sin and making amends as the Lord requires. And such was the case of the sin of a man called Achan that we studied in the last passages when we were together before. Once he was handled according to the will of the Lord, the group was back in the graces of the Lord. Then, and only then, can the project move on with success. They were, as you remember in last week's lesson, they were stopped in their tracks. Well, the tragic campaign on Ai was inflicted on the whole nation because of Achan's sin there at Ai. Not at Ai, as his sin was at Jericho, but the penalty was shown to them at Ai. Whenever they tried to take Ai and they couldn't because of what Achan had done back in Jericho and buried treasure in his tent. What Joshua failed to notice was that he had not sought the counsel of the Lord in planning and executing that battle of Ai. Had Joshua done that, Joshua would have known from the Lord he could not proceed. Joshua was not noticed. Had not noticed that the Lord was not involved with the battle because of the sin that occurred back there in Jericho. And once the tragic battle was over and Ai had defeated Israel and they had lost more than 36 men, Joshua sought the Lord and was informed of the sin and how to make amends. And once the amends was done, Joshua could then place his sights back on Ai for the third campaign there in the Promised Land, as we are going to call it, the conquest of Ai. Consider now Joshua's plan from the Lord. We started chapter 8, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king just as you did to Jericho and its king. And you shall take only its spoil and its cattle as plunder for yourselves. Set an ambush for the city behind it." Well, in the Lord's words, we hear the promise of victory because the Lord has declared it to be so. Notice also we hear the Lord's interjection as how to assure the victory. It is not a suggestion, it is a command. He says, "Set an ambush for the city behind it." An ambush was a new strategy for armies of that day. An ambush meant that the troops would be concealed to surprise the enemy at some predetermined point in the battle. In that day, troops would march proudly up in clear sight in battle array and attack the city. and it was still part of that plan. He's going to use that. He's going to do that too. But the ambush was to be set behind the city also. Ai saw the troops coming in the front of the city, but they did not see the troops that had hidden behind the city and waiting to ambush them. So Joshua's plan for the Battle of Ai included the division of the troops. The ones to go by night would hide behind the city ready for the ambush. Verse 3. So Joshua rose with all the people of war to go up to Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 men, valiant warriors, and sent them out at night. He commanded them, saying, "See, you are going to ambush the city from behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready." All right. So the ones then that will go out by the day will be the ones that march straight forward to the gate of the city as a custom for the battles of that day. We find that in verse number 5:8. So Joshua is laying out the plans here. "Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city." So with the initial plan set, Joshua explains the plan of the troops. The men with Joshua will go out and will come right in front where they can be seen by everybody. And then Joshua is going to explain the ambush to us, the night troops. See, the night troops are sent early in the night, and they will advance. Verse 7, here we have that. "And you shall rise from your ambush and take possession of the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand." So while Joshua and the day troops come out as the army, in front of Ai, Ai will see them there, and they'll see the troops turn and run, and the men and everybody from Ai will go out and chase them. Then the night troops who will see them running at Joshua's command will come in from behind the city and take the city. So while Joshua and the day troops turn away and run, with their army as far from Ai as they can get away from the city, the night troops come in and they take that city from behind. It is Joshua's plan for the city. Verse number 8. "It will be when you have seized the city that you shall set the city on fire, and you shall do it according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you." So Joshua gives the order, and the night troops then depart. We see that in verse number 9. It's the plan. Now it's time to get it going. So Joshua sent them away, and they went to the place of ambush and remained between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua spent the night among the people back in the camp where they were. So here we've got it, okay? I've got kind of a picture here. Think of this big blob right here as the city of Ai. And this is another hill over here, and there's another hill over here. Here's a valley, here's a valley, and here's a valley, here's a valley. This is the front of Ai to the east. To the west over here is Bethel that he's just mentioned. Here is the day troops. This is to the where the day troops will camp. Here's where the night troops will camp in ambush. And down here's the south going south. They're going to come from Gilgal. It's about 15 miles from Gilgal to Ai across the mountain. They're going to come and go around. If they come back around and go this way, it's going to be about 35 miles by the road. But I think they made a cut through and came through in this other way through about 15 miles. It would have been difficult in either case to come from around the bottom about 35 miles or this way about 15 miles. It would have been difficult to get there in one night. So for that reason, I believe they had stationed themselves somewhere near Ai before they actually sent the troops out. Now, the rider has suspended with all the indications of time where we are. We are not going to catch a timing on where we are in the story of Joshua until we get to the end, whenever they're sending the two tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Reuben, tribe of Gad, half tribe of Manasseh, back home to be with their people. We're not going to, across on the other side of the Jordan, we're not going to get a timing. So we don't know where we are. We're probably in the first year, but we're not quite sure of this. So in this passage, we're not told where Joshua gives this instruction that I just read to you. Surely the men of war were together near Ai all at that one time, and then the night troops were to set in ambush and to come out and get in their place on this side of this valley. They come over here and they get in place. And the city of Ai was directly east of Bethel, coming this way. Here's the city of Ai. Here's the city of Bethel. Therefore, the night troops were positioned on the west side of Ai right here, and the day troops were going to be positioned in the camp where Joshua revealed in the plan. So on the following day, after the night troops are there, Joshua and the day troops depart from wherever they are, and there is clear indication that they were camped somewhere in the vicinity. And when Joshua gave this plan, they're somewhere close, and they're going to come up and march into the front of the gate and then move to the north and camp on the north side of Ai, verse number 10. Now Joshua rose early in the morning and mustered the people, and he went up with the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. Then all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near and arrived in front of the city and camped on the north side of Ai. So they arrived in the front of the city. Front always means to the east in the Hebrew, by the way. They arrived here, but then they camped on the north side of the city, just like the plan. The front gate of the city of Ai was on the east side. The night troops camped behind on the city on the west side. They're over here on the west side. And the front of the city was on the east side. However, after showing his troops at that front gate, here's the front gate here, shows his troop, Joshua and his men go over here to the north side, and they camp on that north side of the city wall, and they spend the night. The writer gives a little more detail of the plan with the division of the troops in 11b. Now there was a valley between him and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. So they stationed the people, all the army that was on the north side of the city, and its rear guard was on the west side of the city. So what do we have here? Joshua has selected 30,000 troops. They're over here camped somewhere. They come around, they get in place, and the night troops, about 5,000, are sent to be over here. Do not need as many. That leaves 25,000 left that are going to be here camped as the day troops. Now, those 25,000 are there ready, and they're seen in plain sight, but the night troops are hidden from view. Joshua then stations himself right in the valley, another valley that comes in here, between the night troops and the day troops, and that happens in this next passage. It was Joshua's plan to wait overnight. And in this next verse, we find where Joshua waited. And Joshua spent the night in the midst of the valley. So there it is. Joshua did not spend the night with the night troops. He did not spend the night with the day troops. He spent the night in the valley in between the two, so the sentries who were watching him could see him and know what was going to happen, so he could give the signal when it was time for the whole thing to start in the morning. Now we come to why Joshua waited in the valley in verse number 14. It came about when the king of Ai saw it that the men of the city hurried and rose up early and went out to meet Israel in battle. He and all his people at the appointed place before the desert plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. It was the perfect place for Joshua to be, so that when Joshua saw the people coming out of the front gate, Ai, and coming towards the troop, and the troops could go towards them and then turn and run away, now Joshua could signal the night troops so they could hear him, and in they could come. Now what Joshua did, we find that out in verse 15, what Joshua did. So Joshua and all of Israel pretended to be beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people who were in the city were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. So not a man was left in Ai or Bethel who had not gone out after Israel. And they left the city unguarded and pursued Israel. Oh, now we have the men of Bethel involved. Evidently, sometime in here, when Ai had a problem, they reached out to their sister city, Bethel, and the warriors there came and met them here to come fight Israel. But the plan had worked. The Lord's instruction to use the ambush was the perfect plan. The townsmen of Ai and of Bethel emptied out of the city and left it totally unprotected. And with the town of Ai unprotected, it was time for Joshua's plan to engage. The ambush would begin with the sign of the outstretched hand. How could there be an outstretched hand? They had to be able to see it when Joshua would use it. Outstretched hand, by the way, he is going to have a javelin that he's going to hold and show it too. Verse 18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the javelin that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand." So Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city. The men in the ambush rose quickly from their place, and when he had stretched out his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it, and they quickly set the city on fire. Joshua carried a javelin. Now, I want you to think about this as a small spear. It had a dart on the end attached to either a stick or a throwing stick. And what do I mean by a throwing stick? Let me use a stick here. This is actually one of my cubic things. The spear, a throwing stick was a thing with sling that they would use it, and they'd sling the arrow out with a sling instead of trying to push it out with their hands. That's what a throwing stick is. They would use it to sling it out. Well, the javelin stretched. Joshua used that javelin, and he stretched it out towards Ai. That was the sign, and the ambush worked. Well, with the ambush by Israel of Ai, the sign of the smoke-filled city left the hearts of the inhabitants and the warriors hopeless. And we find that in verse number 20. When the men of Ai turned back and looked, behold, the smoke of the city ascended to the sky, and they had no place to flee this way or that. For the people who had been fleeing to the wilderness turned against the pursuers. They were caught. Whenever they turned and saw their city of Ai burning in smoke, they were hopeless. And the men of Israel who they were pursuing, the men of Israel turned right back on them. And here comes the fate of these men who are caught in the crosshairs between the burning city and the nation of Israel. Verse number 21. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the men in ambush had captured the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and slew the men of Ai. The others came out from the city to encounter them so that they were trapped in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they slew them until no one was left of those who survived or escaped. As directed by the Lord, all the men of Ai were slain, and that included the men of Bethel who had joined them. Now back in the city, okay, back in the city of Ai, the writer speaks of the caught king in verse number 22. But they took alive the king of Ai and brought him to Joshua. Now, as normal for the king of a city or a nation to be captured alive and brought to the ruler on the other side in the battle. Joshua was the other ruler. And so the king was delivered, the king of Ai was delivered right there to Joshua and to his feet. But the destruction of the humanity of Ai was not over. They got the king out of the city, but now we've still got people back in the city. So from the we come to the fate of those caught people who were caught inside the city, the women, the children, and all of that, verse 24. Now when Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the field in the wilderness where they were pursued them, and all them were fallen by the edge of the sword until they were destroyed. Then all Israel returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. All who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not withdraw his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Just as Moses had held that stick, that staff of his up until Joshua had completed killing the Amalekites and running them off back at Rephidim, that place where the water came from the rock, Amalek, when he won against Amalek, so too Joshua had learned. He held that javelin out and he kept it out in front of him until the battle of Ai was won. All the caught people were killed. 12,000 were killed. What was done with the caught animals? What were they going to do with the animals? Verse number 27. So Israel took only the cattle and the spoil of the city as plunder for themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. They had learned their lesson in Jericho. They had lost the battle of Ai. Now they come back in this third campaign and they attack Ai and they win. They win because they've learned their lesson. The writer does not mention it here, but the order of the Lord was the same for all the battles. The animals would be divided among the families of Israel. The gold, the silver, the copper, the bronze would be put in Israel's treasury. The idols of Ai would be crushed and burned. The city would be crushed and burned. Also, destroyed, totally destroyed. The writer speaks of Joshua's plan for the future. He begins with the city's eternal desolation in verse number 28. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation until this day. Now, whenever the writer is writing that book of Joshua, he's saying, okay, Ai is still destroyed to this day. I'm showing you a picture there on the screen of Ai today. It is still a heap of desolation. See that mound? That's still the mound of Ai. The city of Ai would be a heap forever, a desolation. The Hebrew word for heap means tomb. It is a tomb as you saw it, just a big old heap. And what's underneath that is the bodies of those 12,000 people that had died. The king will be buried there too. Much later in the book of Ezra, Ai is going to be mentioned again when 320 men and their families are going to return from exile. They were exiled out of this Bethel Ai area and they're going to return back to the promised land when Cyrus the Great allows them to return. They were exiled in 722 B.C. They will return in 839 B.C. So therefore, Ai must have been rebuilt at some time, but it was never rebuilt on the ruins. It was built back over to a different area. Now, we must not forget the king of Ai, who had been delivered to Joshua and was at his feet. Joshua made sure the king of the kings' eternal desolation also, verse number 29. He hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening, and at sunset Joshua gave command, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the city gate and raised over it a great heap of stones that stands to this day. The writer does not tell us that the king was killed before the body was hung on a tree. But that was surely the case, and here's the reason why. In Joshua 8:2, the Lord says this, "You shall do to Ai and its king just as you did to Jericho and its king." Well, we chase that down a little bit. We have to find out, what did they do to the king of Jericho? Well, we're going to learn what happened, even though Jericho has already been destroyed. And in Joshua 10:28, that's a couple of chapters down, the writer tells us this, "Now Joshua," this is a different king, but it's going to take us back to what happened to the king of Jericho. "Now Joshua captured Makkedah on that day and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed it and every person who was in it. He left no survivors. Therefore he did to the king of Makkedah just as he had done to the king of Jericho. He had struck him with the sword before he hung the body on the tree as an exhibition, just like he did it in Ai, he did it in Jericho, he's going to do it in Makkedah. just so like they did it. That's how Joshua's going to do it. That's the formula for all the kings. Well, with that, we have to understand. Joshua has won a tremendous victory here. It has worked, but it only worked for one reason. It worked because the Lord had designed it for Joshua and said, Joshua, here's what you need to do. Joshua, do it this way. Joshua, go set an ambush. Joshua takes 5,000 men and puts them there for the night. Joshua, go to the front of the gate, show yourself, then camp on the north side and wait till the next day. Joshua, wait out in the valley. Be there so that you can show them the sign with the javelin when you hold it out. Joshua, wait there. Joshua, wait, and whenever the morning comes, take the men, bring them to the front gate as they're coming in. Act like you're going to run away. Act like you're going to run in fear. All the men of Ai, that also includes men from Bethel who have come to help, they'll run out after you. And when they do that, I'll send the signal. And when I send the signal, the night troops will come in. The signal was the javelin that he would put up, and he'd hold it up. They came in and they burned the entire city. And the people, the warriors of Ai, turned and they looked backwards. And as they look backwards, they're without hope. The nation of Israel turns on them, destroys them, goes into the city, destroys everybody, tears the whole thing down, kills the king with the sword of Ai with the sword, hangs him on the tree until evening. And at the end of evening, they take him down and they put him at the gate and they build a huge hunk of stones over the city and they leave it in ruins to this day. Wow. It's a great thing. It's a great thing, even in battles, when, and only when, the Lord is helping you.